I have some questions about Germany or the area or the people or anything like that. Yes. Who asked that question? Okay. Yes, I wouldn't call them necessarily totally unfriendly, but depends. But they're very formal, and kind of in the sense each person is a little bit reclusive, you know, standoffish, and because of that, and there's a lot of, like I said, a lot of atheism, and a lot of. They already think they're okay. Their economy's strong. They don't need God. A lot of them feel that way. So, yes, but there are some getting saved. There are some.
How are they after they're saved? How do they act?
Well, that's if you could get them on a Sunday morning, you're doing pretty good. But it depends, you know, like the church in Schweinfurt, they would for the most part be there all the time. But down there in the Schwarzwald with the wholly different Schwabish people, if we very rarely would see somebody come out on Wednesday, a German, but now and then. But generally Sunday mornings, they would come. But then it would be sporadic, and they might come for a month and then lay out for a few weeks and come for a few more weeks. And then if somebody's got a birthday, they're not going to be there. They just real, real big on the birthdays and the families. They don't want to offend the relatives and things like that. And of course, you see that some over here too, but it's real big over there. Birthdays are a big deal, you know, and... I never could figure out how everybody's birthday was 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, but nobody's going to have a birday party 11 o'clock in the morning, whatever day. It's usually not that way. But I guess they got to get ready for it. That's another story. Actually, if they belong, most of them are registered to either one of the... the government churches, the Catholic Church, or the Lutheran Church, the state. Well, let me finish. They're registered to one of those two, and their tithe automatically comes out of their paycheck and gets sent to one of them two churches. But yes, they can deregister. But there again, it's another story. They sometimes they don't want to lose that. Now, if they really get saved, yes, they will. But sometimes they come in, if they're just coming, that's one thing. They'll go to the kids will go to confirmation or something, get all that money from the relatives. It's just one of them things they have. It's real strong, entrenched over there, the state churches. But yes, they can once they become a child of God, go all the way and deregister, and then they. But it's kind of like a sore spot with a lot of them because it's automatically comes out of their money. So if you're preaching, you need to tithe and so on, and they're not a member or they've never gotten saved perhaps or whatever, yeah, it's already going to the state to keep the big old buildings fixed. Those are good questions. Anybody else? That's a good question. Anybody else have any questions about... Germany, or anything like that.
How do they treat you?
Not bad.
I'm talking about Germany as a whole.
As a whole, it depends on where you go. If you're going to go over to East, the old Eastern part of Germany, like say over by Berlin, things like that, they're a lot less friendly. If you go around where the military posts are at, where we have been. Then they're sometimes more friendly. Although say they don't like Americans, some of them, but they like your money, you know. And Americans spend a lot of money over there, our military, and God bless them. But that's part of the experience of being stationed over there, being able to go around the different countries and things like that. And I've seen Post close down, and I asked the businesses, you sorry the Americans yes, left there? Yes. The businesses don't like it because they lose a lot of money. They lose a lot of business. But then again, a lot of people they've been married to a military guy or whatever, or they've got relatives that are, they got sisters, brothers that are married into the American military. Maybe they're over here. Well, maybe they've just been raised up around the Post, and they've had a lot of friends, ran the streets with them, whatever. Went to church with them, even some, or were saved. Then they're more friendly. They're more open. We kind of rub off on them a little bit, you know. But if they're not, if you go down to like the Black Forest, they're not used to the Americans being around. They're a little more maybe appear unfriendly. But I know a German's asked me before, "What do you think of the Germans?" And I said, "Oh, they're friendly." And they thought I was a nut because they know they're not so much to them. Maybe it might have something to do with how you break down them barriers. I remember why. Daughter Stephanie and I were riding a train up from our town in Rohrdorf up to Stuttgart. We were riding a train, and we sat down, and Stephanie said good morning to the elderly woman sitting across from us, and she's, "What did you say?" You know, I said good morning, you know. You know, but anyway, she's like, nobody says good morning. Nobody talks when they're on the train. That's true. The younger people are doing this, you know. Or listen to the music, or the older people more like are the baby boomer generation, you know. They're reading books or the newspaper, but nobody's talking, not too many people talking. They don't want to be bothered.
That's, you know, a cultural thing.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, you just stay in your little space and I'll stay in mine. The problem is you're right here and they're right there, you know. It's a little bit, you're way out of your comfort zone if you're not going up there. But I just read this morning on the news that there's a woman in Germany that lives on the train. She lives on trains. And she's a college student, and she says it's great. I don't know how long it's going to be great. I think she's been doing it. She's writing some kind of paper or something, too. But she says it cost her $480, or euros probably, for living in an apartment. This only cost her 300 and something, and then she can ride all over Germany, you know, and all that, and she just washes her hair in the sink. But not all them trains have sinks, you know, restrooms and all that. So I'm sure she's learning the systems, or she can see her relatives more and all that. And I'm going, yeah, and then it's mentioned about her staying, sometimes sleeping over, and I'm saying that probably happens more, more and more frequently, you know. She's riding a train all the time, meeting new people and all like that. But for the most part, though, people are just real like, this is my space, that's your space. They put their things in. They don't want to be bothered.
So.
Neighbors? They don't treat you bad or anything. They just don't. They don't treat you, right? They don't treat you bad, but it takes a lot of love and compassion and time. You know, because like I said, if you don't just go knock on the door necessarily and say, "How you doing?" You know, like in America, if you move into some neighborhood, somebody might bring you pie. Maybe not so much here, but in a smaller community, somebody might bring you this, or they might come up and say, "Hello, how are you?" and so on. "And I'm so-and-so. It's nice to have your neighborhood." You don't really see that in Germany. As a matter of fact, you're expected to be the one to go and bring the cookies or whatever, you know. But that doesn't happen either really too much. But they're just a lot more private. And then in the German language, you got formal way you speak. If somebody's older than you, like you're older than me a little bit, I think, and I'll be 60 at the end of the month. But let's say, especially if you're a child or up to age, let's put it this way, if you're up to age 16, or where you're still considered not an adult, you use what they call the du form, you know. But if you're and du is you, see, because we just say you, but they have a du and a z form of you, okay? And then the derivatives from that, for making it plural and all like that, kind of like Spanish has different, you know. But so if I don't know you, for if we're not in on that friend relationship, which could take years before it actually happens, I'm supposed to use the Z form, okay? And but if you're like, for instance, how would you have, I'm just trying to think of an example. My mind just went blank. If I'm going to say, can this, if I'm, let's say the do form, because I use the do form all the time, because I just slip into it. So sometimes if I felt like I offended somebody, I'll apologize, you know. Because most of my my dealings with people is preaching and dealing with them on that level, you know, with trying to win them to the Lord and things like that. And so, but if I want to say, can this Z helfen? Yeah, so I'm using the Z form. It's more formal. But if I want to talk to them on another level, like say, child, can this dear helfen? Or something like that. Can I do something for you? But children are, especially, they're real, you would never use a do form to an adult. Never, you know. But I'm older. I guess I get away with it that way. But generally, I use the do form. And if I feel like maybe except I'm real careful if somebody is really elderly and all like that. So they're real formal like that. I don't know if I'm kind of rambling on that. But they're... you're expected to use the different forms with who you're talking to. And if you're on a friendly basis with somebody, you can use a do. Or you can say something, okay, this is an example. Können wir duzen? Okay, so I'm using the formal form of that. Duzen is can we use a do form? And so if we can... Then we slip in to say, I can say do or deal or whatever instead of Z all the time. But which I do anyway, usually. I don't know why. It's easier for me when, in all reality, the do form is a little trickier and harder. But because I use it so much when I'm preaching, I guess I just normally do. And I think they just say, well, that's a dumb American, and we'll excuse him. Yes. Oh, they're not afraid to correct you. They'll correct you.
Do the other people your age interact well with you?
Yes, sir.
I don't know if they know you or interact the right way, but I'm looking at you. Once you open your mouth,
probably. Oh, yeah, they do.
Do they?
They know. I used to, first, you know, I'd practice, and I try to get it right. And I know I did it. I know I said it right. I know it's you know, to me, it's, you know, not perfect, but, you know, it's right up there. You know, I did my very best, and they might answer me in English. You know, I'm like, that's deflating, you know. And then I figured it out, though, because, you know, when a German or any European comes up to talk to me, I can almost tell you what country they're from. I can tell you if they're an Italian. I can tell if they're a Czech. I can tell if you're German. I can tell you if they're French, whatever, because they say it's the tempo they speak and the way they say it. But anyway, I can tell you they're European. I know they're not American. And so it's easy for them. They know it's your dialect. And so you'd have to be very, very, you could have it immaculate. Like I know some missionaries, man, they're very, very fluent. And yet they still sound like an American. Especially if you're from Alabama. Come on. It's not easy to figure out, you know. Not only do they know you're American, they know you're not... You're from Alabama or whatever, South, if they've been around you, Americans a lot. Any other questions?
How's the crime rate over there?
Crime rate? You know, supposedly it's not as bad. In the bigger cities, it is. They do have a lot of trafficking in child pornography and things like that. And pornography is real open over there. And they do, they drink like fish. You know, that's part. They have drunkenness. But the one over there, I don't listen to the news much. You know, I really don't. I'm preoccupied with everything else. I'm doing just what other people, what you hear. You don't hear about somebody getting shot every day. You know, they don't have as much guns. Matter of fact, if you want to have a gun over there, you got to belong to a hunting club, which is a lot of money. You want to keep the, you got to keep the gun at the hunting club under lock and key, you know, and all that kind of stuff. You don't just, you know, you just don't walk around with a gun like it is over here. And they're real controlling, like they're socialist governments, what they are, which is the way we're headed. You know, I better not go there. I got a lot I could say right now. A lot I can say. But, Teddy, you don't, they got crime. They do. They got prisons and things like that. I mean, you get, and plus you got all, a lot of, what do you call it, terrorist cells over there. They got a lot of Turkish people, a lot of Muslims over there, lots of Muslims. And they got what they call the Muslimization of Europe. And it's Belgium, as a matter of fact, Brussels is real bad. But, you see it, and it's obvious because the Germans have like 1.25 kids, and the Muslims have 8 to 10. And so just by sheer numbers, they're taking over. Of course, they're all wanting to go join ISIS. A lot of them wanting to go join ISIS and things, like, even in the U.K., all like that. So, yeah, the crime is there. Yes, sir, I know. Enough.
Yeah.
You can get along.
How is it now? I mean, when you witness people,
they
most don't understand English.
Well, usually you try to the German. It depends. If they're young, they know English because they're taught in the school. And you know, if I go up to a young person, I can say it comes to English. Okay, that means do you speak English? Now, if I'm talking to somebody older, okay, say können Sie English. They say that's a difference. I was trying to think of a good example. Okay, so I'd say, can you speak English? And a lot of times the Germans will say a little bit, which probably means they're fluent, you know. Or if they say no, or it probably means their English is probably much better than my German. But they like to be exact. They just don't. They want to get it right, I guess, you know. Or if a young person says, no, I don't, I know they're lying to me. You know? So, because then sometimes, but, you know, if you try, you do your very best, and then they'll come, then they might start speaking English. Or you can do a little, it depends, you know, if you go over there and you're doing your best, and then they'll help you out. And in between, a little bit of German, a little bit of English, a little bit of sign language, whatever, you know, eyeball contact, you know, you could you point across. I know a missionary was going to, I don't know if any of you heard, a little place called Liechtenstein. It's in between Austria and Switzerland. It's nestled right in there, you know, a German-speaking place. And they want to know, they need a guide. I said, you'll be fine. You'll find people to speak English down there, you know, usually, especially students, college students. Matter of fact, in Stuttgart, all the big plants like Porsche and VW and Mercedes and all that, most of their business is done at the top levels. Meetings are in English because they come from all over. And so the trade language is actually English. So, yeah, if you want to go buy a souvenir or something like that, all of a sudden they can speak pretty good English if you want to spend your money. So you wouldn't have too much problem. But there's not as many military posts anymore. But down where... where we're at in the Black Forest, you find less and less people that speak English. Less.
Last time he was here, I stopped into one of your boys, and he was telling me the station where I was at.
Which one was that?
Kitsigan, Harvey.
Oh, yeah, that was closed years ago. About the time we lived right next door to it, right next door to Kitsigan in Reppendorf. Yep. Matter of fact, I could walk through the back there and go up to the back gate. It used to be there, but yeah, they closed that one. Würzburg, Schweinfurt's closed. Bomberg, and a bunch of other ones. Even Mannheim's closed now. And that was kind of like a real surprise. But they're talking about maybe Stuttgart. But that's a NATO base, so I don't know. Eventually, but we get less and less of a footprint over there. Not so often. Not so often, no. Yeah. Any other questions? Yes.
I'm wondering how they have religious freedom.
Yes. Sure.
And how does that work with socialism and the state church?
Well, it's, you know, they actually teach religion in their school. Isn't that something? We don't here, but now actually I'm hearing they're teaching the Quran and Muslim in some schools and things like that. But oh, don't have a Bible, but no, they actually teach. They have a religion class, and they learn basically world religions. I think a lot of times, and then they also can have sometimes the kids can have some kind of service or either Catholic or Lutheran. But then you got, as I said in the video, you got all different kinds, Brethren. You got the Freie Evangelisch. That's the they broke off from the Lutheran Church. They're more like a free, but they're Brethren mostly Brethren.
Do they allow those other groups of the Catholic Lutherans to opt into the state church payment system?
I don't think that's why they're out. I think they don't have to if they're separate from it. You even got Mennonites and all that kind of Charismatics are big over there.
They'd be like us.
Yeah, they're outside of it, basically. But they're allowed. They still have, basically, religious liberty. They do. And so, but most people would say I'm Lutheran or Catholic. Most people.
Do the state churches still register births and marriages and such?
Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, the preachers have nothing to do with the marriage. Yeah, nothing. You can have a church wedding after.
But if you want to get married legally, you go to the judge.
Yes.
Then you can get married.
Then you can have a church. Then you can have a church wedding if you want to.
Can you do it without the statement?
No, it won't be.
That's what I thought.
It's not legal then.
That's what.
So yeah, it's just kind of difficult for people that don't want to. You know, but that's a civil thing, I guess.
Right.
Because like even we have to get
We're supposed to get a marriage license.
A license to do it, you know, and it's yeah. Any other questions? Did I answer your question?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
How about homosexuals? What do they do about them?
They're ahead of us on that one.
Are they?
Yeah. I've seen people. Of course, I've seen people years ago in New Orleans, but of course that's a whole new little place anyway. You know, but yeah, it's you'll see the sodomites and the lesbians and all that over there as well, and that's more. You know, they're loose. They're more liberal. They've had thousands of years to work on it. You know, and so it's just accepted pretty much. It's okay. It's, you know, and it's a sad thing that we've gone down that road. It really is. It's a sad thing. I just happened to check the news on my phone that Friday morning when I saw that went through. Man, I just about went through the ceiling. I couldn't believe it. I didn't know what was. I just got back. I was focusing on ministry and all that stuff, but I do check the news and more. I've been checking it more than I ever have. There's so much going on, I'll tell you. It's been so much. It's disheartening, but God's still in the miracle working business. So, yes, it's very, very, it's real open. The immorality is more open than I said. Pornography is more open. You can get pornography, I think, when you're 14 years old. It's legal. And drink when you're 16. But actually, probably you've been drinking already before that, because you go to a restaurant, they'll have this little Kinder after-dinner deal, cocktail or something. I remember being at a Bomberg one time years ago, and they brought that up. And no, we don't need that.
They legalize marijuana?
I don't think so yet. No. It is in Amsterdam, but everything's legal there. That's just way open society there, but not in Germany. Yeah, I know. It's legal in some places, isn't it? It's a dumb move. It's a dumb move, but I hate that, you know. I remember back in the 70s, all the head shops, and those would be opening back up, I guess. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Oh, just the same way. Well, you know, you can stuff mailboxes over there. You can't do that here. We don't do much door knocking, if any, because the Jehovah's Witnesses have pretty much ruined that. Plus, they're, like I said, they're formal. They don't want you at their door unless you ask, unless they invited you over there. They don't want you really coming around. But they don't mind you coming up on their porch and putting something in their mailbox. Or you meet them on the, I try to meet them on a neutral ground. Okay, you don't want me at your house, but this is the park, so you're going to have to listen to me. But I'll go up and sit down with them, talking to them, witness to them. Same way I do here. When I go to deal with a vendor, I'll talk to them, leave them a track and things like that. Yeah. So some people are open, some people aren't, you know. And there are saved people over there. There are some Christians. And we've had to deal with a lot of charismatics. Now, I'm not saying necessarily all of them. I don't think all of them are saved, but we're trying to help them. You know, there's a charismatic stronghold about 10, 11 kilometers from us in Bayingen from the Latter Rain movement started in South Africa. And they've got 40 mission projects around the world, and one of them in Wisconsin, by the way. But there are just signs and wonders and real wicked stuff going on. But the people are disillusioned, tried to help them. But yeah, just the same way, try to be friendly. You know, one missionary explained it this way. He goes, and we deal with a lot of Russian Germans from Kyrgyzstan and places like that. They come back to Germany after the wall come down, you know, and all like that. But they're like without a country because the Germans are kind of, they don't accept them as readily, okay? And Germans are kind of funny. You know, they save kind of all the best jobs, you know. It's kind of discrimination, but they send the best job for themselves, you know. And then if when the Turks or somebody comes over, yeah, we don't mind you making donors for us and things like that. You know, that's okay, you know. But they, it's hard to move up from that, okay. But anyhow, I lost my train of thought. Where was I going with that? What was your question again? Okay, yeah, with same way as we do here. You might have to tweak it a little bit different. We're not trying to make an American church, you know. It's, we want it to be at a, but every, the standards is going to still be there and everything's the same. I still preach against alcohol and preach against sin. Some don't, but I do. You know, I think they need to hear the same thing. They need to know what sin is and try to build a church. You want to build it right. You want to have a strong foundation. Yeah, we just hold. Matter of fact, in Rohrdorf, in Schweinfurt, we started at a military church. Okay, we went in Sunday afternoons and started a German Bible study. There were some Germans that were saved in Schweinfurt, and the pastor there wanted us to have a Sunday afternoon service, and that's what we did. And we built the church from that. And now, they, as I said in the video, they have a German pastor, Pastor Fohl. So it's been totally turned over to him, except he still needs to be ordained. We will do that when we get back. But then in Reppendorf, we got a place in that town of not Reppendorf, but Rohrdorf, down in the Black Forest, and we had it right in. And there was a garage. When we went there, I saw the garage, and I said, "Man, that'd be a perfect church because it was tiled floor." It had a heater in there. I think the guy must have had some nice cars in there or something like that. Anyway, we lived upstairs and the church was downstairs, and we invite people out and we just do it that way, and we hold the service just like we would, you know, just like we would here, no different basically, except for in German, you know, and so on. Yes, sir.
Immigrants.
Yes, some of them, some of the Turkish. Well, 10 years ago, especially the Germans, now you cannot get a job in Germany unless you learn the language. I say amen. That's the way it ought to be.
They have a test that you have to pass?
Yes, yes. And and you go through that thing, and everything's pretty regimented there. But people can, you know, there are people seeking asylum as well there, but they have a lot better, stricter immigration policy than we do. We've really blown it. We've really got a bad one. Huh?
They allow them to become citizens.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes, they can. Yeah. But you have to learn the German. You have to be willing to assimilate into the culture.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons they don't like a lot of Turkey, because they don't. They don't assimilate into the culture. Okay? And that's, that's another hot button, so I won't go there. That's another message altogether. But anyway, good question. Good question. Anybody else? It's probably about time. We usually put about quarter till, something like that. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Brother Steve. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this good, informative hour with the Sunday school.